Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom is engineering our show on the other side of the glass, as we say, and Tom's given us a big thumbs up. He's all set to go. He's got some great 60s bump music for us. On Friday, we kind of go back into the time machine, back into the vaults. On Friday, June 11th, 2015, hope you're having a good day. Hope it's been a good week and you're looking forward to a wonderful weekend. We're live noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And did I give the wrong? What did I do, Tom? Come back here. What did I say?
It's no biggie. It's June 12th.
Oh, it's June.
According to Microsoft, anyway.
Oh, it's June 12th. So get with the program, Bill. So I'm a day late there and a dollar short. Want to thank our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com all support the Buckmaster Show by prominently placing a link to our show on the home pages of their particular website. The Friday Focus interview today is with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek. Mr. Kasachek is a Democrat representing Tucson's Ward Number 6. Joining me in studio to question Steve Kasachek is Jim Nintzel, senior writer for the Tucson Weekly. Jim, how are you?
Good. A black cat walked across my path as I was entering the studio here, so I'm a little worried.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. Is that a studio cat?
That is the stray cat that lives here in the complex.
Oh, well.
So there's nothing to worry about.
No bad luck.
No, I see the black cat almost every day.
Okay. Phew.
All right. And I don't know if Steve K. has seen any black cats while he was out doing his run. You do the run even in the hot weather, don't you, Steve?
Yeah, I was doing fine until I heard the weather report that just came out. But, oh my gosh! So, no, I'm doing fine. I'm glad you have the '60s bump music coming. It's kind of my era. CNN is now rerunning their series on the '60s, and I'm watching them at home. But I saw a movie a couple of days ago at the Loft called Iris, and one of the lines in it, this relates to age in '60s, was, "Everything I have two of, one of them hurts." And so that's kind of how I'm feeling today.
Yeah, I think I can sympathize with that. But the '60s music today, Steve K., will be Dionne Warwick, some of the early stuff, Walk On By, Anyone Who Had a Heart, that's coming up in some of our bump music. Okay, Councilman, the Broadway widening controversy pretty much behind us now. Everybody, is it safe to say, is on the same page? I saw an op-ed in the Star this morning. Was it Margo Garcia, I believe, had the op-ed saying that she thinks everybody's done a pretty good job on that?
It's been a long haul. It, in my opinion, took too long. But finally, we have a baseline alignment in front of us. What that does is it gives us a starting point that the traffic engineers and real estate people from the city can go out and start approaching property owners, both private property owners who are businesses and residential, on the Broadway Corridor between Euclid and Country Club, and lay out the map in front of them and say, here's how you will be affected. Do you want to stay? Do you want to go? If you want to stay, here are some of the challenges. You've got parking challenges now. You've got access challenges now. And once real estate and the engineers talk to all the property owners along that corridor, and there are a couple hundred of them, they'll circle back with them and say, okay, for those who have an interest in staying and keeping their businesses operating, suggest to them and work with them for some solutions. And let's just one quick example. If you have, say, five properties that are all similarly affected and they're adjacent to one another, and four of the five want to stay and one wants to go, taking down that one property may provide a parking solution to the other four to allow them to work out a shared parking arrangement and access arrangement so the other four can stay. So we have to have these conversations now with the property owners, also bearing in mind that there is a budget that we have to work towards, so we're not just going to go start. And this is where the conversation started 3 years ago, is not only does it not make sense to build a 150-foot wide 8-lane corridor based on traffic projections, but it doesn't make sense from a budgetary standpoint, and it didn't make sense from a standpoint of taking down all the tax base that we need to fund the RTA anyway. So I think we're going in the right direction. I'm sorry it took so long, but we're where we are now, and now the real meaty conversations begin with the property owner.
Okay, let's bring Jim Nintzel in.
Steve, you voted against the city budget earlier this week. I'm just wondering, what was it behind your decision to not vote in favor of the budget, and thoughts of where you think the budget's moving in the right direction and the wrong direction?
Okay. Correct. I voted against the budget, and the reason for that, and frankly, my vote was validated by the Fitch Bond Rating Agency, who came out and said because of what we're doing, they lowered our rating. Lowering our bond rating is simply going to cost us more money to borrow, for instance, the Prop 409 dollars that we're going to go out and borrow for road repair are now going to cost us more than they otherwise would have. I voted against it because, and this is similar to what we've heard from the bond people year after year after year, is that you, City of Tucson, cannot continue to use one-time fixes to balance your budget. And a couple of examples that we're using this year are relying on $9 million in the sale of land to balance the budget, dipping into our reserve fund again for the fifth consecutive year to balance the budget. Now, what we did on Tuesday was we said, we'll withhold dipping into that rainy day fund if we can find sufficient revenues between now and November to avoid having to do that. But the balancing of the budget is reliant on about $1.9 million coming out of that reserve fund or finding other revenues. We're simply in a position again this year where our expenses are exceeding our revenues. And so the proposal that I had laid forward was to excluding police and fire and 911. Everybody has taken a 2% haircut in their operations. And use some of that money to preserve the rainy day fund. Use some of that money to buy some of the public safety vehicles that we have, again, not purchased. I asked some questions of the city manager. One of them was, where do we stand on this vehicle purchase thing? And the answer was, if we placed the order today, by the time the vehicles became available, 93% of our paramedic trucks would be ready to go out of service. About 75% of our pumper trucks and about a third of our ladder trucks would be ready to go out for service. That's just not responsible. So I voted against it because I think it's heading in the wrong direction. Felt I had a proposal that that we really should consider. But we have a new city manager coming in. He starts on July 1st. And I've already spoken to him, as I'm sure that our finance people have, and he will hit the ground running, and we are not going to wait until the first of the year to start talking about the fiscal year 17 budget, because we can't do this again.
Now, on the mass transit, I know you've been advocating for some route changes and some higher bus fares. It appears they have made some route changes, but no fare increases. Your thoughts on where we're going with the mass transit?
Well, we may have made some route changes. There were 10 or 11 of them that were proposed to the Transit Task Force. It's a citizens committee that is formed to review those kinds of things, proposed changes. The night before the council meeting was when they had the first opportunity to meet. They voted unanimously to reject the proposed changes, but then they went through them individually, and something like 10 out of the 11, they said, yeah, we really have no real major problems with those. The problem was one as to timing in terms of them making a positive recommendation, and I get that. So what we did on Tuesday was to say, we will circle back with the Transit Task Force on the route changes that are in front of them. There were two levels of changes. One was called, Phase 1 and Phase 2. They only looked at the Phase 1. If all 10 or 11 of those Phase 1 changes are adopted, it will provide about $1.1 million in route efficiencies, in operations efficiencies. The piece that they didn't look at is another $500,000. All $1.6 million of those are assumed as a part of our budget balancing strategy for this fiscal year. So we haven't checked that box yet, and we will do that before the budget process is finished. The other piece of it that you asked about was fare increases. Last year, the staff brought to us two proposed fare increases. One was approximately 10%. And another one was something in excess of that. I think it was about double. The 10% fare increase would yield about $730,000. That was a part of the motion I put forward. Let's propose a 10% fare increase. The other one that the staff had in front of us last year would have provided about $1.6 million. I said that's a bridge too far. But I think that 10% fare increase is a putt that we can sink, and so let's take a look at that.
And when you're talking about a 10% fare increase, there are all these different fares that
right.
people
see, that's
pay.
That's right, and that's one of the challenges. When staff presents that number, my message back to them is, you know, I don't care how you get there, just get there. And if you completely avoid touching the low-income fares and put the 10% in 30-day period passes or full fares or however you want to get there. But you, staff, told us that with a 10% fare increase, you can yield $730,000. We need the revenues. So you find a way to get there, make sure it's equitable, make sure it doesn't disproportionately impact the people who need the low-income fares the most, but get there. It was your proposal. Find a way.
Okay, we're going to have to take our break here. It's 12:15 on the Friday Focus interview. Steve Kasachek is with us, Jim Nintzel, Jim's senior writer for the Tucson Weekly and host of the Zona Politics TV show at
KGUN 9:30 on Sunday mornings.
Okay, so you're not going to be preempted by the NBA playoffs.
Not
with the final games coming up.
As far as I know, we'll wait and see.
All right, Steve K., stick around. We'll be back. Let's hear some Dionne Warwick now. Go ahead, Tom.
If you see me walking down the street and I start to cry each time we meet, walk on by.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Monday for the Monday Political Face-Off featuring Vince Robigo and John Munger. Plus, we're joined by Karen Caesar of the Central Arizona Project Board of Directors. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and anywhere in the world live streaming podcasts and our show archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. The Friday Focus interview today is with Steve Kasachek, Tucson City Councilman, and Jim Nintzel is here from the Tucson Weekly and his weekly television show, Zona Politics, at 9:30 on Channel 9 this Sunday morning. Is the homeless issue? It certainly hasn't gone away. What's the latest on that, the folks that are returning, I understand, to the park?
It's not going to go away in terms of how do you solve homelessness, in quotes. I was at the meeting yesterday that Buzz Isaacson held downtown, along with probably 50-ish business owners who represent both downtown Congress Street area and the 4th Avenue area. There are so many multiple moving parts to this. Also, the parents of the young man who just died down there were at the meeting as well. The nature of the conversation yesterday was really, in fact, the genesis of the conversation yesterday was a series of emails and phone calls and meetings that I've been having with the city manager, the city attorney, our housing and community development people, the mayor, the business community, but primarily to the city staff saying, look, somebody up there on the 9th or 10th floor needs to own this issue from the standpoint of coordinating law enforcement, behavioral health resources, the continuation of a contract we have with Central City Assembly, pulling all the different pieces together on this thing so that we are being proactive in not only addressing the needs of the business community down there, but addressing the needs of the people who are in the park. It is not a safe park. We have fights breaking out all the time. There are multiple instances of drug abuse. We had a young man die down there from an overdose a week or so ago. The problems are not getting better. And so yesterday we met, this morning, and last night I sent yet another communication out to city manager, city attorney, housing people saying, you guys need to step up your game. We have behavioral health issues that need to be addressed. We have drug abuse issues that need to be addressed, domestic violence, housing, you name it. And the business community deserves to be able to, and the people who are patronizing downtown now with all the money we've invested in the streetcar, et cetera, need to be able to walk in a safe environment. We are issuing today, as I understand it, I haven't seen it myself, but I was told we are issuing today a notice that on Sunday at sundown, the park will close. The city will assume that anything that is left behind is abandoned and will take possession of it. There's a dumpster down there now that people are filling up and moving out. That is only a part of the resolution to this thing, though. I was on the phone this morning with Pastor Dave from the Central City Assembly, confirming with him that he is good to go with respect to extending his contract for the low-demand shelter that he's running. The city is prepared to let that contract lapse. I think that's morally unethical. I think we should fund it. Last night I offered up money out of my ward budget to continue it for 30 days if the city cries poverty and says they can't afford it. But the other part of that, though, is that the city needs to proactively go out and address, that's in Ward 5, they need to go out and proactively contact the people who live around that church and work out the security protocols that they should have done the first time this thing was extended. I'm not at all happy with the way the city has addressed this from the standpoint of the contract extension, from the standpoint of the provision of the services for these people, and from the standpoint of protecting the rights of the businesses around there. So I'm a little bit chapped about how this is being handled. Finally, it is being handled. Buzz Isaacson and the business community ought to be pleased with what they're seeing. That's half the equation. The other half of the equation are the legitimate needs of the people, and they are many who do not fit in normal standard shelters that are HUD-funded, those kinds of things, because they have pets, they have spouses, they have drinking or drug abuse problems that they bring into the shelters. That's why we need the low-demand shelter available. Also.
All right. Here's Jim Nitzel.
Steve, I wanted to ask you about this development on the downtown Motor Hotel over on Stone Avenue. There's it's a hotel that's in serious disrepair there, and the Compass Affordable Housing wants to build a four-story building there, apartment building there, with for low-income residents, and the city is contributing about $600,000 in HUD money for that project. And there are some neighbors in the Armory Park and Barrio Libre neighborhoods there who are concerned that this is out of scale for the neighborhood. They're concerned that the city is helping this project along and not trying to mitigate its impacts sufficiently, at least in their opinion. And I just want to know your thoughts on how this project's coming along.
Yeah. First of all, the operative word that you use there is HUD funding. And so I've met with been in multiple meetings on this thing with the Compass people, neighborhood people, again, our housing and community development people holding meetings. There's a HUD process called a 106 process, and that really is a process that HUD makes the developer go through and the city go through. There are protocols that we have to go through to make sure that what's being built is appropriate with respect to the preservation of the existing historic structure. That those parts, as you said, it is in pretty bad repair. Those parts that can be preserved and what they're doing to mitigate the demolition of the other pieces that aren't able to be salvaged. I agree that the scale could be better, and I have made that comment to the developers. Their answer to that is that when they applied for the HUD funding, there were two pieces to it. Number one was the location, and number two was the number of beds that they were going to provide for the low-income people that they're going to be servicing. And if they made the project smaller, they'd lose their funding, and the project would fall off the table. They have invested $1 million or two in design and all process so far, and so they are prepared to move forward. Right now, the city is moving forward doing this 106 review with the feds, and as I understand it, if the feds say you've checked all the right boxes and you're not leaning too far out over your skis on this thing and you're not violating the historic preservation, then Compass can move forward. That process right now is really between the feds and the housing and community development people who are doing that 106 assessment.
And the concerns of the neighbors are that the city has discretionary power of how they decide to use these HUD funds, that they could use it for a different project. They don't need to be contributing it to this project. And your thoughts on whether this is the city should be working on this particular project?
Well, actually, Armory Park came out in favor of it. The Barrio Libre people are across the street, and they're opposing it from a standpoint of scale. Frankly, I wish the scale were different, the scale in terms of the building, but it is close to the streetcar line. It is close to downtown, where a lot of the services that the low-income people need, we were just talking about the homeless camp, it is close to the one-stop center downtown where a lot of these people are going to be going for services. So I think the location is good. The developer is the one who applied for the HUD funding, and so they're kind of the moving party on this thing.
Okay.
I hope it moves forward in a positive manner. It is going to be, in my opinion, too big for the location, but if HUD checks the boxes, they're good to go.
You're from Michigan originally, correct, Steve?
Yep.
When you hear people talk in the media here about Tucson is the Detroit of the Southwest, what do you say to those people?
Well, how much time have we got?
You have a minute and a half.
Okay. They speak of when they say that, they're speaking in the pejorative about Detroit going into bankruptcy and all that. We spoke a while ago about our budget problem. One of the pieces of that budget problem that we don't have control over right now is our pension obligation. That ultimately was one of the big factors in Detroit and some other cities having issues with their financial situation. We are going to lose another piece of litigation next year that was brought on by the state legislature, overstepping their bounds in terms of changing and diminishing the value of public sector employees' pensions. That will cost us probably another $15 million. It's another reason, knowing that's coming, that I voted against our budget. That's on our horizon. We can't avoid it. I think we're doing some really fundamentally good things in the downtown core from an economic development standpoint. Jim's very familiar, so are you, Bill, very familiar with a lot of the things that we're doing on the Rialto Block, the Congress area up and down 4th Avenue. We just redid our infill incentive district that's going to cause more of the good things to happen. Gibson's is opening, got downtown grocer, high wire lounge, lots of things I could say, but I don't have enough time. New AC Marriott Hotel. I reject the comparison from the standpoint of what the city of Tucson is doing with respect to economic development. I do take the point, though, that when it comes to public safety pensions, that's a high bar that we are going to have to figure out a way to get over. But it wasn't brought on by the city of Tucson. That's coming out of the state. We don't control public safety pensions. That's handled at the state level.
Okay, so when it comes, though, to economic development, do you see parallels with Detroit? And I am out of time, Steve.
We have challenges, and jobs is the answer to all these things, but appropriate jobs.
Okay, Steve Kosacek, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot. Steve Kosacek with us on The Buckmaster Show. Coming up, Jim Nitzel will stick around, and Dylan Smith is waiting in the wings. Mr. Smith, the editor-publisher of TucsonSentinel.com, but right now it's the midway point of the Friday Buckmaster Show.
What do you get when you fall in love? A guy with a pin to burst your bubble. That's what you get for all your trouble. I never fall in love again.
American Openings is pleased to be a sponsor of Good News Radio Broadcasting, featuring local news and information on AM 1030 KVOI. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ on KGMS 940 AM. Positive and encouraging music on 88.1 FM K-Love. And pop classics on KCEE 690 AM. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer, concerned about our community and proud to be a partner with Good News Radio to help make our community a better place.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
10. A little bit of Dionne Warwick, our 60s bump music today, some of the early Dionne Warwick, a lot of her stuff, the early stuff, Burt Bacharach writing a lot of the early music, along with Hal David. A lot of big hits, including this one, Saying a Little Prayer. Dylan Smith joining us now for our Friday roundtable. Mr. Smith is the editor-publisher of TucsonSentinel.com, which is now in its beyond 5 years. You're about five and a half into this?
Almost that, yeah.
At TucsonSentinel.com. We strongly recommend folks check it out.
She has such an, I got to say, she has such an amazing voice.
Oh. I like the early stuff, and we kind of do those 60s bump things, so I told Tom I want some of the early Dionne Warwick stuff, and really, what a wonderful voice. Jim Nitzel is here. Jim, long-time Tucson Weekly writer.
He's the senior Dionne Warwick fan.
And fan? Good.
Yeah,
so it sounds like I made a good choice then.
Oh, absolutely.
With the,
your
with
music on Fridays is awesome.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. Jim also is started up Zona Politics, a political TV talk show about a year and...
6 months ago.
It's only 6 months?
Nine months. We're completing our third quarter here, yeah.
Yeah, and on Channel 9, Sunday morning, the show will be on at 9:30. Who do you have this week?
Jeff Rogers and Leah Marquez-Peterson talking about a lot of these legal issues that are floating around in the last couple of weeks with the Secretary of State and clean elections, as well as the governor's proposed school finance plan and a whole bunch of other stuff. So tune on in, and next week we've got Joaquin Ruiz from the U of A College of Science and Megan Kimball from Edible Baja, Arizona, who has a new book coming out about her efforts to eat unprocessed food for an entire year. And how she learned about what was processed and what was unprocessed, and how she drew that line, and a whole bunch of other stuff.
I try to eat healthy, but I don't think I could make it a day and a half eating unprocessed food. it's not going to apply.
Megan actually slaughtered a sheep over the course of this year to experience a certain type of processing at one point. So she's really dove into this endeavor. But,
I had an American cheese sandwich for breakfast, so you know I'm already
grilled or ungrilled?
No, just take a couple slices and slap it between a couple pieces of bread, and you chew on that while I was going through my email.
Three minutes, you can grill that sandwich.
Did I read on Facebook that Dylan, you were up for 24 hours on recent? You were on some travel, weren't you recently?
I went to basically a week long series of three journalism conferences.
And people
paid
to hear you speak.
Yeah, some unfortunate souls paid good actual American money to hear me talk about some of what we've been up to here.
Yeah, very cool.
Along with some other people who actually know what they're doing. I was there yammering along.
Dylan, right. you're doing a great job of sustaining a very difficult operation with a very small staff
Is there a staff? Is there?
Well, right now we've got three of us full time and a number of part timers and plenty of people who are contributing because they want to see good work going. I mean, you know, all three of us in this room are pretty much doing that, trying to keep things moving along.
We're all on this in the same boat, Dylan. In that regard,
it's a small leaky boat, isn't it?
It is. It is. Let's get into some political news here. Bruce Wheeler, state representative, we had interviewed him. I don't know, about a month ago, he was pretty enthusiastic, Jim Nensel, about getting into the CD2 thing. But then he had, was this some unexpected eye trouble?
Torn retina, whoa, which is a pretty serious situation, and it knocked him off his feet for a couple of weeks. And he was back on his feet this week. He actually was down in Rocky Point this week. He's back because he's headlining a Hillary kickoff event here tomorrow, but as a result of the...
I thought you were going to say in Rocky Point.
No, yeah, well, that would be...
There's a headline coming out of that.
They're going to be bussing Hillary group down in Sonora or something.
No, he's back in town. Yeah, they're bussing in all those voters from Rocky Point to vote for Hillary in 2016. That rumor's going to get around now. Yeah.
So he decided...
I'm sure it's already on the internet.
So he decided...
Ian tweeted...
It was just not going to work for him for CD2 then.
That's right. He figured he really needs to focus on. He's going to remain in the legislature, but he has to focus on his recovery on this health issue. So he's dropping out of the race.
And he was the first one to really jump in and actually file his paperwork with the FEC and try and get something rolling along.
Right, and so the bench is shifting a little bit here. Randy Fries announced yesterday, the state lawmaker and emergency room doctor announced yesterday he's not running as well. So
there are a lot of people. There are more people announcing they're not running than announcing that they're.
Well,
running.
One that did announce is Victoria Steele, state representative, and she jumped in this week. One of the others that has been talked about is Nan Walden, the pecan growing family down in the Green Valley area. Mm-hmm.
We shall see if that happens. She's often rumored as a candidate for Congress or Senate or various other offices, and likes to put a finger to the wind and then pull it back. At least that's what's happened every time before. So we'll see if she actually makes a go of it this time. Who else is out there who might be?
Matt Hines is talking about it. The former state lawmaker and another emergency room doctor is talking about getting into this race. And I think there's a lot of a lot that we don't know about this race so far, because we're still waiting on the Supreme Court to rule, perhaps as soon as Monday, on whether or not the lawmakers should be drawing these lines rather than the Independent Redistricting Commission. So if that happens, I've heard that lawmakers are already trying to get together a special session to push some maps through.
Which would completely change everything.
Right. That upends the landscape, probably gives Martha McSally a better district. Right now it's pretty evenly split between Republicans, Democrats, and Independents, and I'm sure she's going to be hoping that lawmakers push some more Republicans into her district. There's been talk that David Gowan, the state lawmaker, was trying to draw a district that actually pushed McSally over into Grijalva's district and set up a district that he could run in. But, that was a rumor, and we don't know if
there are only so many different ways you can try and really gerrymander the map just completely. And you end up with a point that you can't give every Republican a safe district. There are still
Democrats.
There are still Democrats in Arizona here and there. And actually right now there are a couple of absolutely safe seats for Democrats. So you can't make them any bigger. So what
and there's the Democrats are talking about also trying to tie up any new lines in court so that these current maps continue through the 2016 elections. They're talking about potentially even doing a referendum on whatever the legislature comes up with, and then the people would have to approve the maps at the November 2016 election, which would keep the current maps in shape. We'll see whether anybody wants to go that far in funding that kind of effort, because it's expensive and complicated to do something like that. But a lot is basically up in the air at this point.
So what is at stake? Can you give us then the bottom line of what the Supreme Court would conceivably yes to the current
They could say that the lawmakers should be drawing these maps rather than an independent redistricting commission. The Constitution says that the legislatures shall draw these maps, and the question is whether or not the people have the authority to act as the legislature in order to empower this group to draw the maps. And then that's the kind of the constitutional question. A lot of people are saying from what the courts were asking during arguments that it seemed as though they were leaning in favor of the legislature's argument, which is that they have sole authority in this area. And, it would be remanded back down to the district court, and that could be a process that takes some time. So we don't know exactly how this is going to play out. There's even some congressmen who are trying to push a bill that would keep the current maps in place through the end till the next census, because there's also an independent redistricting commission in California, and that has worked out well for Republicans, and they don't want to lose those seats. So
okay, so there are a lot of moving parts.
Very much so. Yeah. You know, if the Republicans in Arizona get to what they would consider a win in this case, it's going to be terrible for Republicans in California.
Hmm. Yeah, and they've got a lot more seats to lose there than they had to gain here.
Yeah, and thus, the national repercussions will be completely different than what it would be here.
Another big story here, switching gears. Well, I guess this is still politics, certainly. TUSD appearing to take a big step forward, Dylan, towards some stability at the top by extending Dr. Sanchez's contract. He had came in with a 3-year deal. He's coming up on the conclusion of 2 of those 3 years, and he has been granted now an extension 2 more years. So if he were to stay, that would be 5 years, and that is some stability for TUSD.
A bit different than what we've seen in the past. The reason for the 3-year deals is that state law limits the ability of school boards to sign contracts that are longer than 3 years. That's the longest that they can do. And generally, if they're going to keep somebody around, it's the common practice, for other positions and in other districts to do sort of this rolling basis. A lot like they do at the university with the sports coaches, where they, in the last year, renegotiate and sort of keep things moving along, because there is a limit on how long that they can commit to keeping somebody around.
And the controversy was that the board also gave him a raise.
A raise, and a portion of that raise is something that they weren't exactly allowed to do. You know, you can't give somebody a raise for work they've already done. Mm-hmm. You can't, you have to contract ahead, not behind. So they're it's looking like they're going to have to go back and sort of rejigger a couple of things in this contract and vote on it again either this week or coming up very soon to make sure that they're not completely violating the law with it.
And after he was granted this extension, he did the Tunnel of Love. Are you familiar with that?
I missed that.
Did you not see that picture on Facebook?
That's one of my least favorite Springsteen songs.
apparently, everybody gathers around and they put their hands up, and he runs. The new hire runs through this tunnel. They call it a tunnel of love.
Oh, wow!
So you learned something today.
Funhouse mirrors, perhaps.
So, but TUSD needs some kind of stability. There's no question about it.
It's, there are a ton of lingering issues, and to constantly have turnover in management is really not a good way to take care of those things, that kind of thing, in any organization. You need somebody who at least has a little bit of experience with what's been going on, and it's good for that. Whether you agree with the superintendent's approach or not is, another issue, certainly, but even if you disagree, I think most people would think that it's good to have somebody stick around and commit for a while, at the very least.
I think the TUSD has some very deep problems in terms of the enrollment that they're losing and issues in a lot of their schools and just morale issues, I think, throughout the district. But I have to disagree with Dylan on the Tunnel of Love. I think is a terrific song by Springsteen. Great imagery.
There's too many keyboards on that album.
It was apparently a rough time for the boss. I think he was going through this dissolution of his marriage, and you know, I think it was a very heartfelt album.
Some of the songs are good, but the production is terribly 80s.
Back to politics. Bill Beard, the chair of the local GOP party, was with us, Jim, this week, Jim and Dylan, and he thinks the sweep is possible of the three council seats. Realistically, Jim Nitzel, what do you think is possible?
Well, you know, anything's possible. I think we learned from Dumb and Dumber, but I think you've had exactly one Democrat turned out, a Democratic incumbent turned out of office in the city of Tucson in what, the last 40 or 50 years, the last half century or so.
And that person,
I might be exaggerating.
And that person turned into a Democrat a couple of years later.
Right. The winner, the Republican who won that race did turn into a Democrat, Steve Kosachik, who we had on the show earlier. So it's a tremendously uphill battle to do that simply because of the voter registration numbers. The things that, that Steve Kosachik had working in his favor that year was a very it was the year the Tea Party was at its ascendance. You had a lot of frustration about the Rio Nuevo projects and the pace of downtown redevelopment. And I know folks are upset about the condition of our roads in this community, but I don't know that that's going to resonate in the same way that the Rio Nuevo stuff did a few years ago. But I would certainly say that I look forward to some vigorous campaigns because it gives both all of us really something to do this summer. So
yeah, we're going to meet. We're going to start meeting the three candidates starting this week. We'll be interviewing them. And Dylan, at least they're very credible candidates.
You know, this is they certainly recruited a better class of candidates, the Republicans, this time around, and in some of the previous rounds. Not that they've all been abjectly terrible before, but these are you know, folks who are you know, more well spoken than some of the candidates that they've run before. I do think that the, you know, trying to run against three Democratic incumbents who are you know, not completely entrenched, but you know, I've run great campaigns before, especially on the west side. That's going to be a pretty uphill battle for the Ward 1 seat.
In Rahina Romero's district.
And not having somebody topping the ticket, not having recruited a mayoral candidate for the Republicans is not going to help the sort of citywide turnout that they're going to need for to you know, really pull this off. You know, they can say that they're going to do it, but that's going to be a very, very tough job. I really can't see realistically them, you know, sweeping the field.
It's a very tough climb. You're also going to have the bond proponents out trying to get their voters out, who tend to be leaning in the Democrats' direction. A lot of money is going to be spent on that particular effort. So it's all going to be on one ballot, we learned this week. So it's, you know, I think a tough environment for Republicans to win.
That kind of creates a little bit of a complication in the balloting process, whether, you know, who's actually going to be automatically sent a ballot and who has to ask to get one.
Yeah, that's
going to because we're looking at, you know, the city election and the county election happening at the same time.
And they've been sending these ballots to city voters. On the other hand, city voters haven't been really great about sending them back in.
Not so
in
much.
Any case, because these off-year elections tend to have low participation.
Gotta go. Jim Nitzel and Dylan Smith, thank you both very much. We'll look for your work in the weekly and at TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you very much.
But of course.
All right, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. It's next.
Don't make me over.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust.
That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
All right, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist and host of Weekend Watch and food and beverage columnist for the Inside Tucson Business. We always welcome Matt to the program, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Temperature pushing 105 here in the Tucson area coming up. What does that mean? Well, that means road trip time over to the cooler climes of Silver City at 6,000 foot elevation. You're going to have a great weekend over there. You can find out about the many places to stay and great things to do, like visiting the historic downtown in Silver City with its galleries, antique stores, museums, and restaurants. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. You'll also find the great listing of places to stay, like Bear Creek Cabins. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. I mean, talking about beating the heat, we've got a lineup of things to talk about today.
A lot of people like a cold beer on a hot day.
Yeah, they do. And, Bill, I just learned that an Imperial Stout is going to be tapped today at Whole Foods over on River and Craycroft. It's made from yeast that actually spent some time in outer space.
What?
You can't make this stuff up, Bill.
What?
With the help of a space flight firm, the Ninkasi Brewery launched a rocket nearly 80 miles into space last fall, containing 6 vials of yeast, which floated above the atmosphere before falling back to Earth. Now, the Arizona Daily Star says this ground control stout is literally out of this world, and I'm anxious to taste for myself the impact that space has on these suds. $10 will get you a 10-ounce pour, and this is truly an historic way to launch your weekend, Bill, if there ever was one.
We always learn something new on Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, including he keeps us posted on the grand opening scene.
Yeah, another great way to beat the heat this weekend will be at the Foothills newest eatery that just opened yesterday on Sunrise and Cold. It's called Commoner & Company. brought to us by the team behind the wildly popular Prep and Pastry over in Midtown. The Commoner is comfort food to the max, serving up dishes from a duck pastrami to a tender beef short rib with a bone marrow bread pudding. You heard me right. Now, on the beverage side, you'll enjoy some great craft brews and wines, and some innovative cocktails like a chilled martini shaken with a brine produced from pickles that they make in-house. Commoner is definitely getting my nod this weekend, Bill. It sounds scrumptious.
Pizza throwdown time.
Yeah, we all have our favorite pizza joints, and this Sunday we'll give you the opportunity to taste several of them and vote for the pie that you think has all the right stuff. It's the Tucson Originals Pizza Throwdown, and it all gets underway at 2 p.m. on Sunday at Vero Amore in Dove Mountain. Now, about 10 Tucson Originals restaurants are going to be cooking up and serving their best pizzas, and local brewers will also be on hand to lovingly libate. I think it sounds like a delicious way to cap off the weekend, so get your tickets today at TucsonOriginals.com.
And you know where my vote goes, to the Vero Amore people, of course, one of the Charter Broadcast members here and sponsors. We love their work, and we love their pizza. What's in the column real quickly, Matt?
Absolutely. We talked about summer road trip at Kingfisher last week, but my column this week takes a closer look at how Chef Fred Harris puts together a Pacific Northwest menu. Let's just call him Fred the Forager, and you can read all about it in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Good weekend to you, Matt.
You too, Bill. Thanks.
The Bill Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of the team here at KVOI, Ed Alexander, Tom Fairbanks, Ray Allen, Jerry Cross, have a great weekend.